everybody, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. Spring is starting to hit its stride, and we are covering everything that is New York Yankee baseball here and every time we record a Yankees and Gravy episode. I'm your host. My name is Tommy Casamona, and like I said, I am not a professional, not either as a broadcaster or a Yankee journalist, but I am a big fan. And if you're listening to this, I'm assuming, you must be. But let's jump right into it. A lot of things going on with the Yankees, obviously, right now, with everybody in camp right now. Who knows? Who knows what to think this year? I think, not to be obnoxious, but I think you can compare the Yankees to this what color is the dress phenomenon that's been going on social media. By the way, why is everybody knocking that so much? To be honest with you, that is a fascinating thing, unless I'm just getting duped. But people, shout out to Nick Angelo for saying, wow, really? People really take their hatred of these what color is the dress posts very seriously. When in reality is, it may be annoying to see come up on your newsfeed, but think about that. I don't get it yet. I got to research this thing a little bit more. So you're telling me that different people see different colors in that dress and it's not a hoax, it's legitimate? I know somebody's going to get back to me and say, you moron, it's a hoax. But I don't know. So far, all I hear is some scientific doctors explaining that, basically how our brain is trained to, compute light images and what color we allow, how we process light that comes in. But why is that dress special then? Why can me and so-and-so look at the same thing and agree that it's black, agree that it's blue on so many other images? Why is that image the one that seems to kind of have a polarizing interpretation? Who knows? All right, I think we've probably spent enough time on the dress. But like I said, just like the dress, the Yankees seem to be this year going into a year where there's going to be people that will say that they are a 75-win team, and then there's going to be those, those eternal glasses half-filled optimists that are going to say the Yankees are a 90-win team. As with most things, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. But who knows? Like I said, it just all matters on the injuries. And no team, whether they're young, old, brittle, or tough, whatever, usually doesn't undergo a certain amount of injuries. And when you add in the fact that the Yankees have, a lot of their stars are kind of on the older side, you tend to look at the season and if you're optimistic at all, let's just say you're cautiously optimistic. Howe came out the other day. Howe came out and basically talked about why the Yankees are not making so many moves and why they're not primetime players as they have been in the free agent or trade market right now. I got to admit, he kind of won me over a little bit, and it does make sense. You see where we are right now, and you see where the team is and why they are in this position where they have one of the highest, they have the highest payroll in baseball. One of, if not the highest payrolls in baseball, but not an overwhelming abundance of young talent to show for it. And I think that they're basically saying they're taking a different stance. They're just not going to mortgage the future. They're not going to mortgage capital that could and resources that could be put towards young guys, and they're just trying to make a stand and fight against what the Yankees have done for a long time, which is overpay, overspend, with too many years and too much money to guys who are knowingly not going to be able to produce and be worth their while on the back end of those contracts. And in some cases, you have to do it. I just think that, it just seems like the Yankees are taking a stand. And while, yeah, I wanted Scherzer, I wanted Shields, and I still don't say we couldn't have got one of them or, who knows, somebody else. But you can't really argue with the logic. It kind of makes sense. And you're happy he spoke up. Because you know what? That, you know, he's got a plan. He felt the need to speak up. He felt the need that he was getting ridiculed and people were judging him and this and that. And you know what? He said, you know what? I got to let these people know what my plan is. And the guys get together and, you know, the Yankee brass. And it's good to know that there is a plan. And, you know, to speak to that, they also, you know, they say that the Yankee farm system is doing well, basically. They have a good amount of young talent in the wings, waiting in the wings, and we'll touch on some of that today. They spent, as we know, a record amount of money in the international market, and that's just going to come down to scouting. You know, if we sent the right people down there with the right watchful eye, hopefully they have the eye. Hopefully they learned under the stick, Gene Michael, who I've said before, and I'll say it again. The run of the New York Yankees, which for all intents and purposes is over. Like, you have to finally, with the moving on of Derek Jeter, the core four gone, that era that we all loved is gone. It's over. It's finished. The 96 to whatever you want to call it. You know, you can kind of call it two eras, but you want to – they did kind of like string together, what was it, 15 years in a row where they were, you know, top two in the league. Just a tremendous run going into 2009 and a couple years after that, to where we're going on 2 years in a row where we didn't even make the playoffs. So I would say, you know what, mark the end of that era right there. And basically that era is done. So as we go into a new era, we would like to start fresh. But talking about that previous era, to me, it's one guy. If you got to pick one guy who was instrumental in why the New York Yankees were so successful, I'm going with Gene Stick Michael. Guy knows how to scout. The guy just has a natural eye for scouting, knows talent, made some tremendous moves. All right, so what else? We had an intra-squad game today. I keep saying we. That's obnoxious. Like I said, that's the fan in me coming out. I'm going to try to work on that. The New York Yankees had an intra-squad game today. It was their first intra-squad game. And I guess it wasn't like Joe Girardi. Just, if he has one moniker the whole time, he's like, he's not evaluating. He said, you're not going to make or lose a spot on this team in the first couple of weeks, because he understands that people are getting their timing back. He wants to discourage people from, you know, trying too hard to impress him. So he's basically saying, you're not going to impress me the first week. And that makes sense. You know, why pull a hamstring? Why have guys who are going to have long, you know, prosperous years, whether they're in the big leagues, on AAA, AA, wherever they end up, you know, he wants to send the message, don't try too hard. Don't be all over the place. It's the first couple of weeks of camp. Ease into it. You know, he probably doesn't even know your name. He even said it. He wants to try name tags. He probably doesn't know what your name is. I had that quick story. I had when I was Astoria car alarms. All right, it's off. Like I said, I briefly touched on my baseball career as a high school player. And my senior year, I was pretty effective with the bat. I hit .476. Couldn't really field that well. I'd get to some balls, and I'd, you know, make it interesting. I'd always make it interesting. I guess that's the problem. I wasn't that sure-handed in the field, but I could pretty much bang. I had a pretty good stick. So I hit .476 my senior year, and I was going to, you know, I wasn't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, if you haven't figured it out by now, that I was a, you know, Ivy League candidate academically. So I went to Nassau Community College, and I wanted to try out for the baseball team. The baseball team tryouts were so competitive that you only could, and it's junior college. I don't know what their baseball, you know, reputation is, but I know Nassau and football was, I mean, that was out too. I played football in high school too. I didn't have a chance to play for Nassau Community College in football because they were basically a factory for D1, and they were one of the top three junior colleges in the country. Basically every year at the time, that was like 94, so yeah. But baseball, I figured I'd try it out, you know what I mean? It wasn't a size issue. I was just too small to play football at my position there. But baseball, it wasn't like that. I was athletic and I had the right size, but you could only go out there one day a week, basically, sometimes two, to try out, because there's about 120 guys trying out for, I think, you got to think it was about 10 or 15 spots tops, because you had to think there was some returning players that already had a spot nailed down. So I'd go out there for basically a four-week tryouts. So that means basically you get on the field four times. I felt pretty good. I definitely was getting some base hits. I was making some plays in the outfield. Anytime I got on, I'd try to steal a base. I don't think I was thrown out. So I was feeling pretty good about my chances. And then basically I think it was the fifth week, and I went up to the coach and I was like, feeling all good. This is the last time. I'm making sure I'm going to get in his face and, you know, make sure he remembers me, and kind of go up to him. Hey, coach, what do you want me? What do you want me? You know, Tommy Casabona. He's like, oh, yeah, Casabona. He paused, looked at me blank, and goes, what position you play again? I was like, shit. So I went out, played the practice, but obviously was not going to make that team. You know, last day of tryouts, he had no idea what position I played. So, that's what it was. Why the hell did I tell you that story? Because of Girardi and how he doesn't know people's names yet. And he won't. But he will make a, you know, a couple of weeks in, he'll start getting familiar. You know what I mean? Coach's got a process too. They got to take things in. They don't want to get all this information. They don't want to see guys diving around and starting to have to evaluate people. They want to get to know at least who you are first, probably in the first couple of weeks. Little things probably stand out. Working on, obviously, a lot of fundamentals, stuff that just kind of muscle memory stuff that kind of you habitually always remember. It's like riding a bike, I guess, when you're playing ball as long as these guys have. But there is a rhythm to it, and physically doing it is something maybe that you have to refamiliarize your body with. So that's probably what they're doing now, and that's probably what Girardi's encouraging them to do now. So, like we talked about, they had the first intra-squad game. To let you know how not, I guess, serious they took this game, they brought in a pitching machine to throw to both teams. So they didn't want to get crazy with any of the arms. They probably wanted to keep things on a level playing field. And from what I hear, they actually have a name for this pitching machine. They call him Iron Mike. That's the name of the pitching machine they use. And supposedly he's got a good arm. He's got an iron arm. He doesn't get tired. Iron Mike basically threw six innings. How they worked it out was that, I guess, the position players went out there, but on each team they did put three DHs as well. So I guess in the spirit of hopefully getting people at bats as much as at bats as possible. What they said was that the focus, like I said, fundamentally, they wanted to go over base running as much as possible. I guess little things, situational stuff like that. They didn't try to get crazy. The pitching machine, or should I say Iron Mike, sorry Mike, no disrespect. They threw all fastballs, and basically they were set to hover around 90 miles per hour. Like I said, no evaluations. Put it out there, see it and hit it. Get the fielders used to kind of reacting off the bat on a professional level, and that's basically it. Tanaka threw 25 pitches of batting practice, no problems. Like we talked about, the Tanaka watch is going to be on, and I don't see it shutting down all year. After every pitch, after every inning, after every game, obviously, this guy's going to have a crowd around him of people asking how his arm is. And thank God he doesn't speak too much English, because, you know, I can't imagine how he's not going to get absolutely sick of this. And then what happens when you got people asking you that every single day, day in, day out? How's your arm? Do you think it was the right move? How's your arm? Any soreness? You know, God forbid the guy is sore after a game. He pitches eight innings and he feels a little bit, you know, a little bit extra sore. Is he going to be, you know, all these people are asking me, waiting for me, expecting, ticking time bomb. I'm going to be shut down any time now. Is this soreness more something I should be making more of a deal about than it shouldn't? All things point to him probably should have having had the surgery. But again, I also say that I'm a jerk off with a microphone speaking to myself in a bedroom. So maybe the doctors and the team physician and the coaches might have a little bit more insight on the topic than me. But hey, that's why we're here. We're all allowed to have our opinions, right? CC hasn't pitched a batting practice yet. He's going to very soon. I don't know if tomorrow or Wednesday. It's actually Tuesday today, so today or tomorrow, I should say, because it's 12:55. I do these things kind of late after work. A-Rod played today. He went 0-2. Iron Mike had A-Rod figured out. A-Rod was a little rusty, obviously. He grounded out and he flew out. So that's that. He didn't strike out and completely embarrass himself in front of a pitching machine, but nothing overly impressive. But again, like we talked about, we have no idea what to expect, and everybody's got to be as patient as possible. Girardi did comment on A-Rod. He said he looks good in the field. He said he looks smooth, good hands, everything. I actually heard him make the comment, and I'll paraphrase, but he said something to the effect of, I think Alex could probably go out there at 70 or 80 years old, and you'll still see the same guy with the same soft hands and the same just gifted natural athlete in the field. And that's pretty high praise, saying, you know, basically having a year off or more than a year off, coming off an injury. And, you know, you look for little victories right now. And if A-Rod is in the field looking like his usual self, looking comfortable, scooping up ground balls, sure, the range is not really there. But at the same time, he's going to be playing a corner infield position. So range is not as necessary as it once was for him at shortstop. Even third base, too, because he's not there anymore. He'll only be maybe doing that on a fill-in basis, barring an injury to Headley. But now being at first base, it's not necessarily. The range is not. So you see Tex. Tex doesn't have the best range either. Tex is a gold glove first baseman, but, you know, most stuff is in either of those corners are bang-bang. And A-Rod can handle the corner, so you're not worried about A-Rod in the field. They say he's going to play Wednesday against in the spring opener against the Pirates. And we're excited to start seeing that. They're going to start having actual baseball games against other teams on the YES Network. Can't wait, man. Can't wait, guys. Baseball is pretty much just about back. Beltran is not going to play till Friday. Not sure what the holdup is on these guys, but or what they're doing. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't think he's hurt. Maybe they're just holding him off. I don't know. I don't know why Beltran is not going to play until Friday, but that's when you could expect to see him on the field in uniform playing against live competition. What are we talking about now? All right, speaking of A-Rod, the Yankees got a guy named Garrett Jones in a trade with Eovaldi. Those two came into the team for Prado and what's his name? I'm nervous. I can't think of this guy's name now. The freaking pitcher. Phelps. Sorry. Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think of that trade? I don't know. To me, it's like the Yankees gave up two guys. It's like almost like a 2-3 for a 1-4. You know what I mean? You got a kind of a journeyman-ish type guy in Garrett Jones who, on the high side, back of the baseball card, has potential to put up some pretty impressive numbers but hasn't really done it consistently, and especially the last couple of years, versus a guy who hasn't even really gotten started yet and who has a live arm, who has all the stuff in the world, but has not realized success either. What is this guy? 23 years old, throws in the mid to upper 90s, but he loses a lot of baseball games. You can say, all right, well, the Marlins, big ballpark, wacky team, and you know, the fact that he pitched well enough to get 20 decisions, you could say that, you know what, the guy ate a lot of innings, and that's good, and you're looking at upside. So versus who we gave up, Prado, who, man, I didn't know a whole lot about before he got to the Yankees, but once he did, how do you not like a guy like Prado? Guy who has fire, guy who has intensity. He's a little bit more. He's almost like a more talented Cervelli. The way he just his approach to the game and his intensity, and you got a guy who could play anywhere in the field. So I was critical of the Pineda trade, you know, but, you know, it proves that to me, it's proven that Pineda is definitely front of the rotation potential versus who we gave up for him, who has had some struggles, Montero. Seems like a little bit of baggage that he's come with too. And I think there was some PED rumors as well, and he really hasn't, you know, put it together. They're thinking that he might have a fresh start this year, and he has good potential to kind of really do well this year out there, but we will see. So I don't know how to call that trade. My first instinct is to say I don't like the deal because of, you know, Phelps is a proven guy who can eat some innings, who can pitch in the bullpen, who can spot start, maybe be a mid to back end rotation guy, and that's, you know, something that's, you know, it's not a given that you're going to get that on every team. You're not, you know, there's a value there is what I'm trying to say. So you can kind of give him and Eovaldi a wash. I think Phelps is more proven. Eovaldi has more upside, but you don't know where either of those are going to pan out. So then you're basically looking at Garrett Jones for Prado, and Garrett Jones, same thing. High upside, can maybe hit you 30 home runs. Especially as a lefty coming into Yankee Stadium, but does he give you the versatility and the intensity that a Prado gave you? We will see. I guess that's about it. Interesting thing about Jones, what he's going to be doing basically and how he's going to have to get on the field is basically show that he can be more productive than A-Rod. A-Rod's probably going to get the first crack because he's A-Rod. Steroids aside, whatever you want to say, if you got an A-Rod on your team, his physical ability to play baseball is going to cause for you to basically give him every chance to lose the position. Now, if he proves to be washed up, you're going to see plenty of Garrett Jones. But, you know, Garrett Jones is going to get at bats no matter what. So it's basically going to be, you know, they're going to have to fight it out. And whoever, you know, basically, they're basically going to say, let me hit hard enough and let me do well enough to make the coach's decision, the managerial decision, basically Girardi's decision, a tough one. And that's all they can really do right now. And that's what they're going to do. Garrett Jones seems to be bringing some confidence to the table, basically saying stuff like, all I got to do is come out and do what I can do. If I do what I know how to do, then I'm going to be able to get some at-bats. And he said, he addressed the A-Rod thing. He's like, you know, I was thinking about it, and I realized that's who my real competition is. If I'm going to be able to get some at-bats and get on the field, it's going to be at the expense of A-Rod. So he understands there's a competition there. He addressed it, and he said, you know, with a smile, he's like, I want it to be a friendly competition. I want it to be a productive competition where we each make each other better and have a good relationship while we're doing it. And you like to hear that. You know what I mean? So looking forward for a little production out of Garrett Jones. Plus, you know what I mean? Beltran, you know, he goes down. Ellsbury played most of last year, but a lot of times that's the exception rather than the norm for him. So there could be plenty of halfway through the year, we could have Garrett Jones and A-Rod basically starting, you know, all the time between the two of them. So who knows? The new guys, Didi, Eovaldi, Jones, new additions on the team, basically the most notable new additions, and it's going to be interesting to watch them to see if they can produce. Didi's a project. What do I call him? Didi Gregoriadis is a project, and if you didn't listen to the last podcast, I refuse to learn his name until I see him as a reliable an effective replacement for Derek Jeter. You deserve a little ball breaking if you're trying to walk onto that hallowed ground, which has been roamed by Derek Jeter over the past, you know, what is it, 15 years. Got big shoes to fill is basically what I'm trying to say. And if you're going to walk out there, you're going to have to earn it. So this is my little armchair hazing. I guess I'm giving him. His name is that TD Gregarious, and he's going to do a good job in the field. At least he's expected to be doing that, but he's got great hands, got great range, and he's got a good solid arm. He can be dangerous at the plate. He does have a little bit of pop, but he has proven to be awful against left-handed pitching. And theme with him and Eovaldi is, and this gets you nervous, if you listen to Francesa, he just doesn't necessarily believe in position coaches. I do. If you're gonna have, if Tiger Woods basically has a swing coach, Didi Gregarious can have a guy on the bench watching him hit and basically picking apart his swing. So I do believe that coaches do amount for something. But how often do you hear that? How often do you hear that, you know, this guy Gregarious and this guy Eovaldi are going to be good, or we should be led to believe that they're going to be good because of good hitting and pitching coaching? I don't know. That's a stretch as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see how it goes. I do agree that both of them do have upside. Didi may be able to figure himself out, find his way, and be the Yankee for the next freaking 10, 15 years. And I'm hoping that happens. Same with Eovaldi. He might kind of come up and figure out how to harness that smoke that he throws, develop develop into a good, solid pitcher rather than a thrower. What else we got? So I am definitely excited for both those guys, all those guys, all the new guys, and I'm excited to see what the veterans are going to do. Like you said, let's list them, the Yankees, who are coming to the table, who have the potential to be ultra-productive, have proven that they can be Cy Young MVP-type guys, but at the same time, we could lose them the first month or two of the season, and we can lose all of them the first month or two of the season. You're talking about Teixeira, that wrist, nobody knows if that thing's going to hold up. You like what you're hearing from him, though. I remember Teixeira a few years ago, I heard him talking about lifting weights, and he was just a beast. I'm telling two sub-stories now. I remember the first day they opened the new Yankee Stadium. I didn't get tickets for the opening day, but I did get tickets for the day before the opening day. It was basically like showcasing the stadium, and they were letting people come in and basically watch batting practice. So I walked in, I bought tickets, and I went right to I had right field tickets, and you know they were playing music, they were having a good time, and everybody was hitting the ball, and it was basically like everybody was hitting home runs right in our area. People were getting hit with balls, the head and the shoulder. There were medics coming around left and right because they just kept cracking balls into the right field stands. And basically, I was in the first level, and you know, I didn't catch one, but they were going. It was all around me. I'm seeing balls bounce all over the place. It's because everybody's hitting these home runs. Obviously, batting practice, no big deal. Mark Teixeira gets up, and we didn't get any more balls. There were no more balls. Everybody could breathe easy and not have to necessarily be on defense so much because the balls were no longer coming to us. They were going over our heads into the upper deck. And basically you were watching this new guy on our team who was bashing the shit out of the ball. Basically a man amongst boys, which was the rest of the team. And he went on to have a great year that year. But I remember what he said, talking about weightlifting maybe a couple years after that. This is maybe, I think he said this about 2 years ago. He's like, you know, my body doesn't recover like it used to recover. And the days of me like pounding out the weights in the weight room are kind of over. You know what I mean? He just focuses more on flexibility, focuses more. And I don't know. Tex, he was 32 at the time, whenever that came out. 32 years old. You know what? Come on. You're in the prime of your career. Keep pumping that iron. Keep doing what freaking got you there. And bang some home runs. And sure enough, I don't know if it has to do with the fact that he wasn't lifting as much or he wasn't in the weight room as much, but he did start breaking down. His average went to, you know, from 300 to friggin' 290 to 240, 250. Now, yeah, again, you know, he got hit with the shift issue. Nobody got hit harder with the shift than him. But if you hit him out of the ballpark and you hit in line drives, you know, it's hard to defend it even with the shift. So it is what it is. And this year, you hear him talking about being a little, not so much with the weights, but he did allude to the fact that he went ultra, ultra healthy this offseason. He said he went hardcore. He called it the no fun diet, no sugars, you know, no fried food, all shakes. He's got that shake company or the smoothie company, health smoothie company he either owns or bought into or whatever. But you hear Tex talking more about exercise and taking care of his body, and it leads you to believe that who knows, maybe this guy can stay healthy. But get going through the list. You got Tex, you don't know. He could last freaking 2 weeks or he could last the whole year. CeCe, you have no idea. Tanaka, you have no idea. Beltran has not put together a full season in a little while. And these are your key guys. A-Rod, who knows what the hell you're going to get out of him. So, Ellsbury, like we talked about, had a good year last year, but he's been known to be, my buddies in Boston call him the Ellsbury Doughboy because he's soft. Who knows? Nova is starting the season on the DL, and he's kind of been up and down with the Tommy John and the other couple other injuries he's had. So it's very, very, very difficult to be overly confident with this bunch. But again, this is why this is such a great time of year, because everybody's healthy. We haven't gotten started yet. Nobody's hurt. And there is reason to be, if not optimistic, at least hopeful. All right, let's close it up by focusing on a Yankee prospect. As we talked about before, the Yankees made a commitment to not overspending in the free agent market, not trading away young talent, and going back to what kind of set that dynasty up, 96 and on, and, you know, focusing on scouting, focusing on the international market, and focusing on developing their younger talent. And it seems like at this point, they have a little bit of a prodigy that everybody's talking about right now. And that is right fielder Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, he's 22 years old. He's a righty. As I said, he plays in right field. And the way people are talking about this guy, now, by sheer size and physical imposition, he basically looks like Thor from what you hear. You're talking about a big dude here, like 6'7", 230 pounds, a guy with a presence. Most of his teammates that he's had so far in the minor leagues just use words like beast, animal, whatever. He's probably got a bunch of nicknames already. Not just, you know, you could be 6'7", 230 and soft, but this guy also kind of walks the walk. He carries it. He's a big man who walks, talks, looks, and acts like a big man as well. And supposedly, he's got a little bit of talent as well. He's not just a meathead. Best Yanks homegrown everyday player that they've had probably in a, you know, who knows, a while, 10 years or so. Everybody's kind of excited to get this guy, about this guy. Built like a pro wrestler, huge presence. However, then a lot of people are drawing comparisons to Stanton. Giancomo, Mike. He used to be Mike. Now it's Giancomo Stanton, whatever the hell his name is. I guess that's more just by kind of stature than anything else, because Stanton is more of a banger. This guy has not necessarily found his home run, real home run stroke yet, and I guess a lot of people, for that reason, people are more excited. A guy who's 6'7". 230 pounds, and he's not necessarily tapping, hasn't, you know, tapped into the cusp of what he could do from a power standpoint, but he is a pure hitter. So doesn't try to crush the ball, doesn't chase bad pitches, is not a guy who particularly you're worried about striking out, you know, 200 times a year. And they say that he may have not learned to get on top of the ball yet, but with his size, his strength, his ability to see the ball and hit the ball, they're going to work on that power. And I'm sure, you know, they're willing to sacrifice 15, 20 average points, percentage points, to gain that 10 or 15 home runs and put them on top of there that they think they can get from him. As far as defensively, they say he has pretty good range. The quote is, his scouts say he moves better than you would think. That just basically tells you just the way things evolve, just these athletes evolve. When I was coming up, In the 80s, I remember, you know, you probably remember those of you who are over 30, 35, I should say, Big Dave Winfield. You know what I mean? Dave Winfield was 6'6", 220 pounds, and that was just, you know, Big Daddy. You did not want to piss him off. Now, you got guys 6'3", 230, 6'4", 235, all over the league now, just powerhouse guys, just evolution. That's what it has to be, I guess, right? Plus these pitches, you know, you got to have at least a couple of guys in your bullpen nowadays, it seems, to that throw over 95 to be able to at least even compete. You got all these arms, they can sling it. But that's he's an example of the new age athlete that is 6'7", 230 pounds, but the man can cover some ground. He moves better than you think, and he's got a definitely above-average arm. Timetable on this guy, Aaron Judge, as we're talking about, seems to be he's going to start the year in Double-A. And on the high side, I think the Yankees are hoping he could tackle Double-A and then maybe halfway through, sometime during the year, get promoted up to Triple-A, and then maybe even get called up in September in the call-ups when the rosters expand. And if all goes well, he could start the 2016 on the Yankees opening day roster. And that would be exciting to see a nice new homegrown talent come in and stake his claim to right field. And we'll be looking good. And hopefully there's a bunch with this international market, these signings that we've done there, and all these other guys who seem to be coming up through the ranks that are looking good. Hopefully there'll be a lot more. And this will be the beginning of the next newest and great era and a set of 20 numbers that will retire over the next 15 years, which is funny. Somebody said, I only read the headline, so I didn't read the article, and I'm not sure what it meant, but it said the Yankees only have, in spring training with the 40-man roster, they only have four available numbers that are not retired. Does that make sense? I didn't do the math yet, and I don't know if that's just because the numbers don't exist or some numbers just don't get used. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting. It's interesting that what are they going to do? How many numbers are they going to retire and still allow people to basically be able to suit up and have a uniform? They're running out, and they're running out fast. A little tired today, guys. Sorry, I was a little sluggish. If I'm going to critique myself live, as you know, on these podcasts, all you do is look for small yet steady improvement, incremental improvement on each podcast. Hopefully, we did better. Hopefully, we're cutting out on the arms. We'll see. But we're just having fun at the end of a long day, the life stresses that we have. We come together, we talk, and we think, and we exchange ideas, and celebrate New York Yankee baseball. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it. Once again, my name is Tommy Casabona. Follow me on Twitter, at Yankees and Gravy, and on Facebook. Actually, check out the friend page. It's we don't have enough to do with the fan page yet, but check out the friend page. It's Yankee Gravy. If you search for Yankee Gravy on Facebook, you'll see I think the profile pictures of mashed potatoes with gravy on them. But thanks again. I got to get that email address up. We'll do a Gmail account too, so you guys can write back. Thank you guys. A couple of you guys have done some shout-outs on Twitter. That's very, very encouraging to see. I really, really do appreciate that. Please keep that coming. Thanks for listening once again, and we will talk to you next time. Yankees and Gravy.